What is up, and welcome everyone to a neon topic discussion show with myself, Gage, aka Luke Shot First, and my co-host here with me today, Jacob Jones, aka OM Jesus. Say what up, dude.
What's going on?
We're here on kind of a somber day. We like to, on this show, talk about bigger overarching themes in the games industry and games media. We've done stuff on the next generations. We've done deep dives into Destiny and what's coming with that. Today we are going to be talking about the fact that Microsoft is shutting down four pretty major studios within its ecosystem, all falling under the Bethesda wing of its studios. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's kind of a heavy day that we come to talk about this with, and it's not necessarily that fun, but we're gonna try and, you know, just kind of give some takes on it. We're coming kind of hot off of it today, but look at it from maybe kind of an economic standpoint and a capitalistic standpoint overall in general, and just kind of I don't know, get some stuff off our chest, just kind of feel it all out, because we've just been kind of sitting with it today, and it's been a heavy mood around the internet. So I guess just starting with the Bloomberg article that I originally read it from, with Jason Schreier reporting, Microsoft's gaming division will shut down four subsidiaries, including the game studio Arkane Austin, which is the Redfall Arkane, and previously Prey before that. Redfall was one of Microsoft's biggest flops. This is reading from the Jason Schreier article. Was one of the biggest flops last year. The company said it will end development on the game and provide make-good offers to players who pre-purchase content that will never be released. Also, Xbox, it's later in the article, is shutting down subsidiaries Alpha Dog Studios, Roundhouse Games, and Tango Gameworks. It sounds like Roundhouse is going to be absorbed by ZeniMax Online Studios, who makes Elder Scrolls Online. Yeah. And then Alpha Dog, I believe, is the studio that was making their mobile Elder Scrolls games.
I have some games that these companies have made. Notably, okay. Alpha Dog Studios worked on Mighty Doom. Mighty Doom, which I don't know if you played it, but it's actually like a really fun, almost like Survivors, like Vampire Survivors style, like Doom game. Oops. Which was fun. I mean, I still have it installed. It's a good time, you know what I mean? So sucks, you know. Mobile games make money, I guess. They just weren't good enough. But Tango made Hi-Fi Rush, Evil Within, Ghostwire Tokyo, just a lot of games that were pretty good, you know.
Yeah, and the director who actually did he just leave gaming or something like that, or did he retire? Maybe
he left the company, Tango Gameworks. Yeah, he left the company.
But he was old. He's the originator, creator of Resident Evil, I believe. At least Resident Evil 4. I don't know about maybe if it went back further than that, but Shinji Mikami, right?
Shinji Mikami, he directed the first installment of Resident Evil in 1996, so he did create Resident Evil originally, and Dino Crisis.
There you go. So yeah, Capcom,
and he came back and OG. Did Resident Evil 4, yeah, so total badass.
Yeah. You know, a legend in the games industry. He did leave earlier. I wonder if he saw some writing on the walls or anything like that. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, let me just take a step back and initial thoughts on this today. How did it sit with you after hearing about this morning?
So it sucks. People lost their jobs. I mean, studios were closed. With Roundhouse Games, they were just absorbed into ZeniMax Online, or ZeniMax Studios, or whatever. They make Elder Scrolls Online, and I think Fallout 76. And Roundhouse Games, I did a little research. It seems like they did just support on a lot of games. They sort of just like helped other devs with their games, including Redfall. So, you know, with that, at least they didn't lose their jobs. But Tango Gameworks, Alpha Dog, and especially Arkane Austin. Complete closures. I think some people are moving to other spots in the company, but for the most part, they're just getting severance packages. Like, people like being laid off sucks, right? But and I'm not downplaying that at all, but like completely shutting down video game studios, like essentially with no notice, because a lot of these people were on Twitter talking about it and they seem kind of blindsided. Like, that really fucking sucks. Especially when Hi-Fi Rush was probably one of the biggest games for Xbox last year. Like, everyone said, like, that it was in Game of the Year conversations. You know, I played it a bit. I've been meaning to get to it to beat it. You know, I play games for 5 minutes. I definitely played this game for 5 minutes, and it was excellent. And it was innovative, and it was praised by everyone. There's, like, tweets from Xbox executives saying, like, how great of a game it is. Yet here they are closing the studio. And then with Arcane Austin, I mean, they made Prey, which is another great game that is beloved by gamers. And just seeing the reception of game devs on Twitter, like, so many are so sad about Arcane Austin because they said, like, oh, there's so much creativity, so much talent there, and now it's just gone. So it does not sit well with me at all. And, you know, I don't know. Like, honestly, this is a really, really bad look from Xbox. Like, we know that with them buying, you know, well, Bethesda first, but then with Activision Blizzard, there was, you know, there already was layoffs, you know, that we like saw
record
coming.
Record number of layoffs, you know?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of layoffs. And this whole thing is affecting, like, every industry, especially in the tech world as well, but it's just such a bad look because Xbox really was selling everything like, oh, we're investing into studios, you know, we're acquiring people, but, you know, we want to see those companies flourish. We want to, you know, there's even a article saying they wanted to invest in Tango Gameworks because of Hi-Fi Rush, and yep. They turn around and just, like, liquidate them, like, completely delete these studios from the world. So that's a bad look, and Xbox has been clawing their way out of a pit, trying to give good faith to gamers, trying to get people on their side, say, like, buy Xbox, be in our ecosystem, we're the good guys, and then they turn around and do this. So it's that whole thing where you're on the bike, the meme when you put the stick in front of the bike wheel and you crash your bike because you put the stick there yourself. And then now you're crying on the sidewalk. And what's really weird about all this is that, like, we know about this because it happened, and we've seen, like, a Matt Booty email detailing this stuff, but there hasn't really been any, like statements or, like, anything from Microsoft or Xbox to the public, like, today. They've seemed, like, pretty quiet about it. So it just seems, like, weird and from the shadows, and, you know, no one likes it. No one likes it.
Yeah, no one likes it.
You know, I'm a big Xbox guy, and I fucking think this is lame as hell.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those, just really, it's a disheartening pattern across all of really any sort of tech or technology jobs, media jobs, entertainment jobs. You know, Hollywood has experienced this a lot with a lot of the streaming war stuff that's been happening lately. The corporate consolidation that's happening there is absurd, and we've seen things happen, like, with WB and Paramount and all that kind of stuff. Now Paramount's up for sale. Looks like Sony's gonna buy Paramount now. So it's like just a weird continuation of this sort of bigger and bigger consolidation and corporate consolidation. And yeah, waking up this morning, I mean, I'll echo something that I heard Gary Whitta of Rogue One fame say on the internet earlier today.
Kind of funny, GameStop.
Yeah, right? Yeah, where he you know, just talking about how as these things progress more and more and get bigger and bigger numbers and repeat stories over and over again, it's easy to find yourself feeling a little bit numb. But I will say that today, of all days, there was just this sort of feeling of a bigger gut punch, and I think the industry in general felt like, especially because of the messaging that Xbox has been putting forward, that this was like a real, not just betrayal, but just like a real kind of out of left field type of thing. Because you know, we look at them buying those studios, and the hope was, and even the way they were talking and messaging about it, and certainly Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond have been on record about this type of stuff, is that the idea was is that under the the conglomerate of them, that these studios would have access to sharing of technology,
right,
use of tools within the greater Xbox ecosystem, that maybe we were or that, you know, that overall should have benefited these smaller projects. And I think ultimately we saw some even good initiatives happen, like Pentiment was one specifically that happened specifically because of the structures like Game Pass, and actually was encouraged by Microsoft during the pitch for that game to be done with this small team. And that would have never really happened probably otherwise, because you know, the lead dev on that would have probably continued on Pillars of Eternity DLC, or you know, or whatever the next project was. Anyways, it just it felt like a big bait and switch today, and I think the whole industry, kind of across media and everything, just felt really gutted to see this today. And then the weird thing you're talking about, like stuff like Tango Gameworks, is a weird one, especially because one, we've seen Xbox take such great efforts and spend so much money to try and get bigger footholds within the Japanese market. And so to gut their only proprietary Japanese studio is an odd thing to do, in my opinion. Although also potentially could be a reason why they did that, is that they're not comfortable and used to dealing with business in Japan in such a way. Maybe it was costly to ZeniMax Media to keep a Japanese studio employed in such a way, but I don't know. It's just the whole thing feels puzzling.
So I think that it's just, you know, they look like some people, the powers that be, saw a financial report and were like, all right, you know, we spent all this money on buying fucking Activision Blizzard. You guys want your Call of Duties. You want your Diablo 4 on Game Pass. It's on there now.
Watch your Starfields and Skyrims, essentially.
Yeah, right. So now it's costing too much, and we got to get that money back. So what can we do? And they look at all these financial reports, and they see, you know, who's on the chopping block. What can we get rid of to get that money back, to get our income back to a certain level? And it's as simple as that, dude. And so they're like, okay, Tango Gameworks, they're in Japan. Well, they could stay in Japan. Or, hey, Tango Gameworks, they made, it was a, hey, Hi-Fi Rush, big game, but, like, you know, what else have they made? How many sales has Hi-Fi Rush had? I mean, it was big on Game Pass, and it's being ported to other consoles, but is it making as much money as Halo is in microtransactions right now? Like, no. You know, Mighty Doom. Well, we have Candy Crush. Is it going to be Mighty Doom, or is it going to be Candy Crush? You know what I mean? Like, these are the types of conversations that happen. Like, they go into their meetings, they fucking ask accounting people to pull numbers. They pull the numbers, they compare stuff. High-level people make high-level decisions, and people lose their jobs. And in this case, it's entire studios being closed. And it is that corporate, soulless, infinite growth mentality that drives all of this. And of course, again, going back to the corporate consolidation thing, it's because they spent so much fucking money, not even just on the acquisition, like on court fees, on, you know, like, or, you know, like lawyers and like all this stuff they were disputing in court. It's like so much money is going into this, not to mention all of the fucking studios they have under them now too. It's just, it costs a lot of money, and they have to get that money back. And so goodbye these studios, but then goodbye people's livelihoods, goodbye people's health insurance, goodbye
industry talent that we're probably never going to get back, because there's nowhere else to go right now. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, more studios that don't exist is less places for people like this to get jobs. Like our buddy is looking at, like, we have a friend that's a game dev that's like, you know, oh, well, I'm applying at a place that's not a game dev. I've been trying for months to get a fucking job. I'm just trying to get a job now. And then you're going to lose a talented QA guy. You're going to lose the talented visual artist, you know, lead art designer, level designer, writer, community managers. Like, all these people are necessary to do this gaming bullshit. And, you know, the corporations don't care. They just want their income. They want it to and hit with, a like, certain level.
Yeah, yeah, with Arkine Austin, I know they did a whole bunch of hiring specifically for Redfall.
Yeah,
with the intent of hiring on people that were specifically getting that were experienced at creating kind of games as service types of styles of games, right? Which mm-hmm. has been a trend that the indie industry has been chasing and these big publishers have been tracing because those are seem to be the things that put up the numbers. Mm-hmm. But if you don't. If you don't foster studios that maybe struggled on their first out at bat, you know what I mean? If you don't bring in that freshman or sophomore level talent, and then they build a game in a big AAA space, it doesn't hit all the goals, but then you don't stick with it. They don't go through the learning process of figuring out how to actually maintain it, put out a release schedule for content and stuff like that. Then how is any new, what studio are you spinning up within Microsoft or hiring on more people for when you already have this group of people that if you gave them probably one more game, like you would probably be creating talent that may end up delivering to you the next, whatever it is, Destiny type of style game that might be really successful for you. So for me, the strange thing that happens when this type of business crosses with creative talent is that there's this sort of like weird, just dissociation between the processes that need to happen for you to, in order for you to be able to get the outcomes of the things that make like a Call of Duty. I mean, the Activision structure has been in such a way that has been such a well-oiled machine, and they've killed thousands of good creatives to just be able to make this machine that is, you know, Call of Duty that happens in such a way. Anyways,
well, it takes...
I get scared. This is going to result in even less success in the in the trends that they're trying to chase.
Easily, yeah. But one thing that people brought up that I was talking to was that Arkane Austin wasn't, they weren't making games like that. That's not the type of games they're good at making. 100%. So you force them to make a type of game that they're not into, right? Their heart's not into the project. They don't put out a great project, and now you close the studio because of a project you force them to do. I mean, that's bad, right? I'm not even sure if that's 100% true, if that's like really how it went down. That's how people like to frame it. But I'm just saying that's one thing to consider as a possibility. But what I'm saying is that there's something else you have to consider with Xbox and their game output, is that a lot of the games that they've been putting out lately need work post launch, right? They're not hits out the door, right?
Yep.
So maybe they're looking at that as well. They're like, okay, well, you want to put all this money and time and energy into Starfield, maybe it'll sell more later. Well, you want to do this with this other game, all these other games, like one of them you can't do that with. And Redfall, Arkane Austin is the one where they decided, well, peace, you're done.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, still, I'm with you. I'm just saying these are the types of things that these fucking people think. And no, they're the
business realities for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and which is horrible.
It is. And I think, you know, to play devil's advocate to the general internet a little bit, I think that there is probably a little bit, and I think certainly from Phil's perspective, there is probably a little bit of what we're seeing right now that is like, this is really, you got to tread really lightly here. This is me playing devil's advocate and thinking about the business side of these things and a potential future that Microsoft is looking at this way, not so much my personal feelings. But I think that from their perspective, a lot of what's happening right now is probably the restructuring that they see as the means to which they get the ship that they can then steer in the right direction that has the studio supports and things like that. And something like id Software maybe works better with the Xbox ecosystem than something like Tango Gameworks. Yeah. This is why I'm saying, like, they're not used to dealing with Japanese developers in such a way. So maybe they're like, that's a pain point for us. Let's cut that type of thing. Doesn't mean it's going to work. And it also just, again, I still think that at some level, there needs to be corporate accountability for the fact that, like, okay, you can't just, like, shut the studio down. Give them independence or something. Sell them off to someone else. Do something. Yeah. But the fact that you're just taking in this thing and then just destroying it seems like, to me, like there needs to be some sort of regulation against that type of
some
behavior.
Sort of oversight. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because totally it's like, how are you to decide that just because this doesn't work for your portfolio that it doesn't get to exist. You know,
you're just like, goodbye, boom, boom, done. And it's, but here's the thing. There is no regulation on that. There is no problem with it. It's perfectly legal. They own the company. They could do whatever the fuck they want with it. And this is, again, why corporate consolidation is bad. This is the stuff that Miguel has been talking about for over a year now. And it's coming to fruition. You know what I mean? And it's really unfortunate. You know, I hate to see it. You hate to see it. And my, you know, like they always say, my heart goes out to the devs affected and all the people. And I really hope that they find more jobs in the industry or just jobs in general. I mean, it's hard out there, dude. You know, our system here sucks, dude. You can't even go to the doctor if you don't have a job. And it's like a vicious cycle. You know what I mean?
Here's a nightmare. It's crazy. Like, just a little anecdotal story before we jump onto the next thing. Mm-hmm. I went to a Kentucky Derby brunch / watching party this weekend at a friend's house. And, you know, it was a group of maybe 20 people between the ages of probably 28 and 38. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any 38-year-olds there, maybe 35. But
I'm not even 38 yet.
but many of whom work for reputable companies. There's a couple of big ones up here in Portland. Nike is one of them. Columbia is one of them. Adidas is another one. Mm. So there was people from all of those companies at this thing. And then other big companies around here too. We were all, you know, young working professionals, and the conversation really was for the most part about how every single person in that room knew someone else who was in a major industry that had just gotten laid off. And like, so that meant like just a sampling of people in their prime working age, you know what I mean? All how it were affected indirectly or directly by people who were getting laid off. One of which, someone who was at that party, was actually having to move back to Brazil because he lost his H-1B status because of that layoff.
Yeah.
So it's just like, so much, you know, the fact.
So much goes into it. Like, also H-1B1 status, right? As well as forcing someone to move to another state and then laying them off or shutting down a studio, you know? Just saying. Bad.
Yeah, it's a really and the job market is really intense right now. I mean, you get the way that so many jobs, especially smaller, like even QA or entry level types of game devs jobs, is, you know, you're up against essentially just being a number, an integer within a giant stack of machine learning algorithms that are filtering you into different types of things. You're not actually getting to even screw up an interview. You know what I mean? Like, it's so difficult right now.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's brutal.
A person isn't reviewing every single resume. Like, the resumes are being delivered to them by an AI, like you're saying. And it's just so soulless, and it's just going to get worse as machine learning and AI, like, continues to develop. Like, more and more, there will be more layoffs, and you know, it's just going to get worse unless, I don't know, maybe our fucking political, like, or, you know, like, people who can run this country, like, pass some laws at some point and quit fucking bickering. You know, maybe just do something and fix something. Just fucking pass a bill, you idiots.
Yeah, anything.
But one quick thing about Arcane Austin, too. Another sad thing is that they were working on a big update for Redfall that was going to come this month, I think. Yeah, for this month, that was going to add an offline mode. And they were working on a DLC. You know what I mean? Like, so that game could have been better. That game could have eventually been like, oh man, Redfall's badass. You know what I mean? Completely gone.
It feels like, you know, we see little scrappy independent teams like Hello Games with No Man's Sky, even though that game was originally published by PlayStation, but since then they've done so many releases independently. It seems like if a little studio like that can be scrappy and take an arguable flop at the beginning and turn it into a successful, continuing, ongoing game in such a crazy ecosystem that seems so highly improbable, and yet they did it because they put their heads down and worked with their community to make it happen. It seems like within a $1 trillion company that is, you know, the S&P 500 is way up today and Microsoft is way up.
Yeah. Oh,
even though all this is happening.
They're so fucking rich.
And, you know what I mean? And it seems like within that environment, you would be able to figure out a budget in which these smaller projects, because Arcane Austin and Redfall, even though it is a big game, is still arguably smaller in a lot of ways than a lot of their biggest IPs and projects. You know what I mean? It feels like you'd be able to spin out, you know, a side team to just work on how to fix that game, mm-hmm. and have it be a profitable endeavor, even if it's a 10-year plan to be an ultimately profitable endeavor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not a 10-year plan. That might be exaggerating. But you know what I mean? A 3-year, 4-year plan.
They always,
you know,
say 10-year, but that's bullshit. It's never 10 years.
It's just business speak. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it was just a... if it was... You know, there's probably a path to victory with that in one way or another. Or
not.
I mean,
if you just close the studio and just be done with it. Nope, you know what I mean? Just get rid of it. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
True. And hey, even if you're just going to move on from the project, like why isn't there space for all of those people within your other studios? I guarantee there is. Like, even if you wanted to, you know.
People cost money, Gage.
People cost money.
You know, yeah, they don't want to pay their salaries. They don't want to put the effort into trying to create other jobs for them somewhere else or projects. Like, they want that income back. And they just want to have it for themselves.
Yeah. And with layoffs specifically, they can do things like they can use it to their tax advantage, mm-hmm. so that they pay less in taxes, so that to them it looks like overall their balance sheet is more in the black than it would be in the red otherwise.
There's severance packages too, like, which is good, sure, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's not good. People lost their
jobs. always say it's in like accordance with local laws or whatever.
Yeah,
which
so
means
they're gonna pay.
We're gonna do the bare
minimum. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember my father in the .com crash in San Francisco in 2001 got laid off from a reputable web design company when mm-hmm. all of that big web.com crash happened.
Yeah,
and it was the thing where if he didn't have that sandwich package, we would have been legit destitute. Like, we already had to sell a lot of our stuff, move out of the Bay Area. Which is why I went further in Northern California, and you know, I left all of my friends in middle school, which is a pivotal time, you know, all of that stuff. Luckily, he had a severance package that paid a whole year of his salary, so we were able to make it happen. But mm-hmm. for anyone who gets, you know, less than that, like, a lot of these people's health insurance are going to go off in a month. And it's like, if you have kids and a family or an elderly person in your, you know, in your care, like,
yeah,
that's a really heavy thing to have happen to you. You know?
It doesn't just affect one person, for sure. It affects the household.
Yeah, families and lives can be utterly changed for that.
Yep. So, all right, cool. So, yeah, let's talk about how the world sucks right now. Oh, by the way, in May alone, there have been 7 total game studio closures, with Bethesda's 4, Take-Two's 2, and Paladin Studio being shut down. All in this month.
Take-Two, freaking, you know what I mean? GTA, you know what I mean? Like these are companies that are not hurting for money, and they're about to not be hurting for money. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. next fiscal year, like, unless maybe they're seeing that there's going to be delays or something like that, but still, within the next fiscal year, GTA 6 is going to come out and make the most money of anything ever, probably.
Yeah, they want to, you know, conserve as much of that money in that time frame as they possibly can. So that's where we are. Oh, and then also 200 jobs at risk as Microsoft shuts down a center in Nigeria. So they're cutting in the tech sector too. Good.
This
good
was
job.
An interesting article. Yeah. That was brutal, so, because the effect of that, because they're such a big player within that space, is that, like, the entirety of that whole tech center within, I forget what city it's in, but that whole city has been kind of fostered as a big, like, Palo Alto of Nigeria, mm-hmm. and, you know, the Silicon Valley kind of vibes. And it seems like the pullout of Microsoft within there, because they put such a big initiative to bolster more tech jobs in that area, is just going to completely destroy the economy, which is like, cool, man. Thanks. I'm really glad you went and did that. Like, just to bail. Like, you have a responsibility to these things. Like, you can't just play willy nilly with people's lives. Like,
so you're saying that. You're saying that, like, because it may seem like the right thing to do, right?
Yeah.
But, like, they don't have a fucking responsibility. They can do whatever they want. That's the point. Yeah. There is no responsibility. There is no holding people accountable. They just are rich. There's no laws against it, and they could just do whatever they want, and that's the reality of the world we live in. You know what
especially
I mean?
In foreign countries like that, that it's even less regulated.
In foreign countries, they want your business, they want the economy, you know, they want the economic boost, so they're going to give you incentives. But then, you know, like, what's stopping you from cutting and running? I'm sure there's some sort of clause, but then, like, I don't know. I mean, if they could just shut down and like Microsoft centers, you know, I don't know. So it sucks, but it's like how it works. Unless someone steps in and makes it not work and forces them to not be able to do these types of things, then nothing will ever change. And as all of these companies gobble up more and more things, then there's no competition and there's no other avenues. And then you have everything's Taco Bell.
Yeah. Real quick, you know, this is just kind of a trend across across bigger things. I was watching a really interesting TED Talk recently. Let me get his name just so I can reference it.
Mm-hmm. Is this that image?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll pull him up.
Yeah, for sure. What is his name? His name is Scott Galloway. He's a kind of a hardcore economist. He's kind of brutal in a lot of the stuff he says. Some of it can even seem a little bit like, well, that's like so far that way that it's the other way. You know what I mean? Okay. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he's got some interesting data that I think really kind of just shows the transfer of money towards the top of the pyramid, you know what I mean? And then that top of the pyramid also being a much older age. And fact that differentiation is really what happens is the younger generations are not being invested in a way where there's a sustainability of an industry, you know what I mean? This is what's happening to the gaming industry as an example. Mm-hmm. But in many industries is that because these younger people aren't supported in such a way, there's no foundation really. So this is showing like, this is kind of a silly thing, extremely proud to be American, but people who are 55 plus saying 50% of which agree with that, and 18 to 34, only 18% agree with that. We're all pretty upset down here on the lower end. And then the next slide is really the reason for that is that the share of household wealth by age, in 1989, you can see was a little bit more even, now it's like 70 plus.
Yeah, look at that.
Has 30% of the entirety of household wealth within, you know what I mean? And under 40 is at 7%.
Yeah.
The rest of that being, you know, corporate companies and things like that. But as far as like, it's crazy that, you know, the much larger population of people who are under 40, you know, have so little to hold on to right now. And then if you go down to the next slide, you know, this being medium household income versus the median home prices, the inability to, you know, that bottom blue line, people say like, oh, well, income is going up. And that's what bigger corporations will say to be like, check it out, we've been raising income over the years, you know, but it's like, then you look at the gap between the ability to afford housing.
Dude, yeah, this other kind of funny best friend, he's in our Discord now, so we're chatting with him, you know. Erdy Cooper, I believe, was talking about this today. Like, yeah, wages go up, but inflation goes up too. So it's like our fucking income is the same. It's like, I still don't have enough money to, you know, even think about buying a car or whatever, like, you know what I mean? And you could say the same thing, like, when it comes to corporations and stuff, like, okay, they're also making more money because the inflation's going up, so it's really like nothing's changing, right? And the housing market is like inflating too, of course. Like, it's now like, we got our house here where I'm currently at the exact right time, because now it's already unaffordable. It's, even in Vegas, where it's been affordable for so long, like, it is now impossible, because corporations buy up all the houses and then they rent them out, so then there's no houses to buy. You know what I mean?
And this is the thing, that this is the trend that seems to be happening as far as the transfer of wealth towards these corporations and older generations, in which, like, Scott Galloway in the same talk was talking about how, when once you buy a house, you get really concerned about other development around your house or something like that. You know what I mean? It was just a kind of a local example he was talking about as a bigger picture. But these corporations in a lot of ways are doing the same thing, in which they're like, okay, we are now an S&P 500 company. We have this much money. Let's make sure that we maintain being that biggest company in the, on, in the sea. You know what I mean? And so this is an interesting one, right? The median income, again, has been increasing. And so like you saw in the previous graph that it had been, that there was a curve there, right? You know, as it would have been increasing here, this is it compared to the S&P 500 growth. And it becomes a flat line where like
completely flat.
Because like there's, you can't see any differentiation in that at all, as opposed to the exponential growth of these S&P 500 companies. And so this is, you know, the only reason I'm putting all this data out there is just because the gaming industry is feeling these symptoms because of this type of overall corporate conglomerations and that consolidation of wealth. You know what I mean?
I mean, they're in the same ballpark as, you know, the people. Like, it's just simplifying the fact that, like, hey, or we're simply putting it like the rich are still rich. And guess what? They're getting richer. But everyone else is not. And you have to, it's becoming the Running Man. It's becoming cyberpunk. Like, cyberpunk is becoming real, where like we're getting to that dark future where corporations are controlling all the wealth. The rich people are working for the corporations, or just are independently wealthy, and they're making all the decisions, and we're just like getting what little scraps we can get. And, you know, game devs and game companies are the same. Like, if they want to make a bunch of money, they have to do a song and dance and get a big GoFundMe going, or, you know, a type of crowdsourcing, like with, what's that company? Tim Schafer's
fucking company, Double Fine.
Double Fine, for instance, who got acquired by Microsoft, so he didn't have to do this anymore, but they'd have to crowdfund every single game. You know what I mean? You have to either do that, or you have to be extremely lucky in the indie space and have a really small team, which eventually will balloon and become another same situation. Or you end up working for another company, or you get acquired by Sony or whatever. And then here we are. It's still just everything at the top that controls everything. And then you're just doing your best to get what you can. And it's like, who's paying for all this? It's all the people who don't even have the wealth. It's not the people with the wealth. It's the people with 8% of the fucking wealth.
It's the, it's the consumers who want this. Stuff. And, you know,
it's just a nightmare.
It's the thing of, you know, even things like collegiate institutions, like Harvard, for instance, has increased the amount of intake of tuition. It has gone like something like 400% in the, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me. In the last, like in the last however years, and admissions have gone from being like they accepted a certain amount of percentage of people to only accepting like 4% of submissions. To essentially say that, like, you know, the ability for an average person who for sure is talented, or maybe has, you know, a lot of drive, or, you know, if nurtured in the right environment, would exceed and become the next person to start one of those companies that becomes the next Facebook or whatever it is, doesn't have the opportunity to ever get to that point at this point, because there's the walls between the options for that are just less and less, or they're getting thicker and thicker. You know what I mean?
And then with AI too, like, that's going to straight up replace jobs. So then the job market will continue to shrink. And then now people don't even have income streams. You know, so it's all bad. We need to do something about it. And yes, video games are part of this, obviously. And we're really sad to see these studios closed. We're sad. I'm sad as an Xbox game, like Xbox fan, Xbox gamer, you know what I mean? To like, I'm not going to sit here and defend this shit. Bullshit. You know what I mean? And it sucks being a fan of someone who's like making a shitty decision like this. And also, like, and I was talking about this earlier, like, who do we hold accountable? Like, did Phil Spencer make this decision? Did Sarah Bond make this decision? Was it Matt Booty? Like, everybody wants all of them to fire them. Well, number one, Microsoft is happy that these things are happening. Why are they going to be fired? It's not going to happen. Did they come from higher up, or were they a part of this? Do they care? Do they not? you know, they could say whatever they want. We think it's, these people are a certain type of person. We think they're so personable and nice, but that's their job, is to be front facing and get you excited about their product. It's just like, it's hard. It's hard to sit here and be yay, Xbox, when they gobble up companies and then they close the studios. And,
we've seen it. It's been a trend for years, as going back as far back as Lionhead and you know, they've had a bunch of games that they have really mismanaged and things like
True.
We've seen with even, you know, we don't know what's happening with Perfect Dark, but it sounds like it's in the fucking shitter for the most part.
It's been troubled to the point where they brought in a whole other studio and it's just a nightmare. I don't know what to say anymore. And it's like, now I gotta still listen to all these like Sony fanboys to shit on. Like, the thing is, like, Xbox games, they're good. The ones that come out, they're fun. Like, I like playing Halo, Sea of Thieves. Like, I want to get people to try these games out and play them. Like, it's not the developer's fault. They're putting out good products. I mean, Redfall was like not the best out the gate, but there was some improvements with their latest batch.
Yeah.
And Hi-Fi Rush Pentiment, is incredible.
Pentiment was a 10 out of 10 on IGN. I just watched the NoClip documentary about it literally 2 days ago. And you know, it was such a heartwarming story that they literally were able to get funding because Xbox wanted titles like this on Game Pass. Like 12 people made that game. Which again, like, how is it affecting your giant corporate structure that 12 people within a much larger studio that is making very successful games for you? You know, I mean, nothing's happened to Pentiment yet, or the Pentiment team yet, or anything. Let's not, you know, bring that upon them.
Yeah, but just, the fact that you're saying yet is like very telling. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you almost expect it to happen.
Same type of thing with Hi-Fi Rush, whatever. These smaller incubated teams within bigger developers. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you want. You want portfolio diversity. You want to be speaking to all demographics on your platform. You want to drive Game Pass sales. Like, that's what is going to be like your subscription service that is going to drive your entire ecosystem for the next 10 years. Like, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
So, ultimately, even though it makes sense financially for them, I get it, but right now
it doesn't make sense. It's because it never will. I mean, it does make sense if you don't have a heart. And all you care about is the financials. It makes perfect sense. And I tried to boil it down, at least from what I think is happening and where they're coming from. And I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying this is why. This is just straight up probably why. But I want to leave you with one last thought that I had earlier, and I tweeted this. There's something about, I can't remember exactly when they announced this. I think it was like a week ago, right? But, and I think it was Sarah Bond who put out the tweet, but they're like, oh, get psyched, June 9th or whatever it is will be our Xbox showcase, followed directly by a redacted direct right after the showcase. And it's clearly Call of Duty, and there's something about that makes me sick, that they're so excited to do this Call of Duty focused direct after acquiring this massive company, just because they're so excited to have Call of Duty in their portfolio. And now they go ahead and just shut down these great studios. Like, it does not feel good. I don't like it. And you know me, I don't even like fucking Call of Duty games, you know what I mean? But something about those two things happening a week apart makes me fucking sick to my core. And that's my last thought.
I'll just do one little jump off that, because it does bring up something for me that I've kind of wanted to say on record for a long time. I just want to straight out say it, that I really, really don't like Call of Duty. Like, I think fundamentally it has changed the games industry for a negative overall. Like, I don't like it, one, because it promotes warfare, which ultimately I am a pacifist. I think we don't need to have these combat actions out in the world right now. We don't need to be fucking up the Middle East for these things. We don't need to be supporting any of the fucking atrocities that are happening in Gaza, or you know, all the military aid that we just sent to Taiwan, which is like presuming that maybe shit's gonna pop off in China in the next decade. All this to say that, like, promote the American, like, patriotism of promoting war and idealizing these games that are just pure violence with no fantasy, there's no imagination to Call of Duty whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And even if one of those campaigns or stories have been dramatic and intense in some way that like evokes Saving Private Ryan, the reason you have a movie like Saving Private Ryan is to tell people not to fucking do wars anymore. You know what I mean? So Call of Duty does the opposite, in which it makes it fun and engaging to essentially kill people from other countries. Like, and mm-hmm. I fucking hate that. And I hate that it represents video games and that it's the most successful property and it plays to our ideals of violence above all else. Anyways, I truly am upset. I was hoping that Xbox was going to hopefully shepherd Call of Duty into some other thing, and I'm realizing that I was so naive and stupid, and nothing is going to change. And it's a huge bummer.
I mean, like, who knows what's going on with Activision? At least they let Toys for Bob separate so that they can make Spyro, I guess.
Yep.
But, like, how much of that factored into destroying these studios? You know what I mean? Like, basically everything rolls back into, it's bad. It's all bad. Of course, they just wanted the fucking money. But they dumped so much money to get the money first that they now have to offload some of their money that they have, which is in the form of human beings' lives and livelihoods. That's not good. That's awful, not good. Man. And wanting Call of Duty, which is the broiest, douchiest fucking game series in the whole universe. Yeah. And that being the main direct of this year's Xbox showcase. And then you shut these studios down. I mean, it is a statement. It is clearly a statement.
We want money.
We only care about Call of Duty because it's important. Because it's important because that's all the most biggest money maker in the industry right now. That's all we care about.
Yeah, we don't care about this potential new franchise that everyone loved last year that was a new IP that was doing something creative and different. And Hi-Fi Rush is what I'm talking about. If you can, that.
No, fuck them.
Fuck them. We don't want that. Yeah, we don't.
Bullshit.
I'm so worried for Double Fine, for one.
Yeah.
And hugely Senua's Saga coming up, because that game is going to be wonderful in the things that it does for the tech of the industry. Mm-hmm. I'm not even talking about, let's say the game is a 7.5 overall on things. I still think the visual design of that game, the tech that it's working with, the innovations that they're using in Unreal Engine 5 and facial capture are essential key things for the next decade of this industry. And if it doesn't meet expectations and Ninja Theory gets shafted because of anything like this, that is going to fundamentally hurt progression in games going forward. And it's a real shame if that's the case. So Microsoft, don't you dare touch them. Let them do their thing.
Yeah, I agree. So. And just, last thing, I don't think it's unfair to question these things. You know what I mean? Because honestly, you're going to do this shit. People are going to lose faith. They're going to think, well, what does it take for a studio to be closed now? You know, you're setting a low bar that, you can't really come back from. So, like, I said my last thoughts before. Here's my last thoughts. We'll see how they respond to all this backlash, because it is massive in a way. Like, there's backlash for these things, but then, like, it kind of dies down and, half a day. People are like, this is lame, whatever, and they move on to another story, whatever.
Yep.
This feels bigger. This feels like a massive turning point. I think people are getting fed up with the shit. But I hate to break it to you, but according to industry experts and analysts, it won't stop for another 18 months. So buckle up. More studios will close. More layoffs will happen. I hate it. I hate it that I'm probably right and that they're probably right. And just all we can do is show our support. You know, if you have your podcast, you talk about it. If you can, buy the games outright to show support and to these devs. And don't be assholes like these Gamergate grums people and shit on people on the internet. Instead, spread the love, man. You know, be a cool dude.
We all are stronger together, and we're stronger when we build communities together and support each other. That's how people find connections to get new jobs when these things happen. You know, like, that's what we need to foster in general as best we can on the internet. So it is heartening to see this outpouring of outrage and coming together of people trying to help people who are getting jobs and stuff like that. But it's not our responsibility. It should be the responsibility of the people who are employing these people. So let's get mad at these companies. Let's hold them accountable. And every time Xbox has a thing now, let's make sure we're talking about, hey, is this realistic? Are what you're promoting to us something that's viable? Like, are you going to fuck this up? You know what I mean? Like, that's that's what they deserve after all of this kind of stuff. So,
I don't know.
You know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
I'm sorry if this was a big downer tonight for y'all got to listen to, but it just felt like it was an important thing for us to talk about and process. You know, it's important for everyone to, you know, just feel their feelings and get them out there some way or another. So please comment on this video with your opinions, your questions. We can always do follow-ups if you guys are looking for it, and share this video around to other people. So get their opinions on it. And if you think this is an important topic, we want to just, you know, we want to be out there talking about this stuff. So, thanks for all your insights and all your comments tonight, Jacob. And Steven and Miguel could have been here too, because they had a lot to say. But we, you know, just with timing and getting this reaction out quickly.
Hey, I'll give you Steven's main thing. Indie games of the future. Support indie games, baby.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Watch, you know, look at Larian.
Miguel's right.
Look at Larian.
Those are the things you need here.
Yeah, Miguel is right. Yes, always. quietly but correctly in the back, just being like, you guys need to stop being so enthusiastic about all this shit.
Hey man, you know, it's easy to get all you know, stuck in the, you know, enthusiasm of what can happen. And Game Pass is such a awesome product that, like, you know, what are the implications? And here we are. So just, you know,
here we are.
Just really think a little harder before you champion these types of things.
I just want to play video games and have a good job and support my family.
Well, I want the people that make the video games I love to be able to do that too, you know what I mean?
Agreed.
So that's where I'm sitting at here.
Well, thanks for checking out another Neon Topic discussion podcast. We are Neon Pocket Dimension and Neon Gaming Dimension. Neon Gaming Dimension is the channel on YouTube where you can find all of our gaming-centric content. So check that out on youtube.com/@SybilNeonGamingDimension. And then our other weekly podcast happens Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific time. That's Neon Pocket Dimension. And you can find out where all this stuff is happening if you follow us on Twitter, also known as X, and that's at NPD Squad. We'll be telling you anytime we're going live and doing fun stuff. We're going to do some game streams later this week. We're doing lots of content for you because we love doing it. So subscribe and give us a like, or share this to a friend that you think would like it, because that's the best way people really find out about it. So yeah. Hell yeah.
Yep. What am tomorrow night? twitch.tv/NeonPocketDimension. And talk Party about card we'll- games.
No. Oh yeah. Very
something cool. More fun than this conversation.
Yeah. There's lots of good fun times to be had, but it's good that we take these serious discussions when they're needed. So all right, we're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for stopping by. Peace.